This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
It's my privilege to introduce our speaker this morning, one whom I'm privileged to call my friend, the Reverend Senator Darrell Jackson. He's the son of the late Bishop Andrew Charles Jackson and Janie Lumpkin Jackson, born here in Columbia, South Carolina. He's the oldest of five children. After graduating from Dreher High School here in Columbia, he earned his Bachelor's of Arts degree from Benedict College here in Columbia. He majored in political science with a concentration in public administration. While a student at Benedict College, he served as the president of the student body and was the recipient of the most distinguished student award. He then earned his Master of Arts degree from Columbia International University. And I must pause and say that his father attended CIU. And First Lady Willie Mae Jackson, would you stand up? She's also a graduate of CIU. Let's welcome the First Lady. The senator's brother has graduated at least twice, I think, and he's working on his doctorate here. And their youngest son, Antoine, I shouldn't have said his name publicly here. I'm mad at him because I'm trying my best to get him here, and it's taking much longer than I anticipated. He's an outstanding young man, a real heart for the ministry, and I can't wait to have that third generation of Jacksons here at CIU. In 2000, Senator Jackson received an honorary doctorate from Richard Stockton College in New Jersey, and in 2002, another honorary doctorate from his alma mater, Benedict College. Senator Jackson's always been involved in civic affairs. He served as the commissioner for Richland County School District 1 from 1990 to 1992. In November of 1992, he was elected to the South Carolina Senate, becoming at the time the state's youngest elected African-American senator, where he continues to represent Richland County District 21 to this day. As a businessman, Senator Jackson's enjoyed unparalleled success as the founder and owner of two businesses. The first, founded in 1986 as Sunrise Enterprise, Columbia's oldest African-American-owned public relations firm specializing in marketing and consulting. The second business, founded in 2010, is Sunrise Family Health Benefit Services with 35 agents spread across South Carolina, with three offices, one located here in Columbia, one in Charleston, and one in McCormick. Senator Jackson is also the senior pastor of Columbia's Bible Way Church on Atlas Road. It's one of the largest, if not the largest, church in Columbia. And in public, I will always address the pastor as senator, but in private, I address him as pastor. You'll see why after he preaches this morning. It spoke to many of our hearts earlier this morning. In 2006, Bible Way was the only South Carolina megachurch featured in the first volume of America's Most Influential Churches, published by the American Society for Church Growth. Additionally, Senator Jackson's the author of the book entitled A World of Possibilities, a self-help book designed to unleash the power of possibility within every individual. He's married to the First Lady, Willie Mae. They have two sons, Darrell Jr. and Antoine Joseph. Antoine is my buddy. And they have a granddaughter, Kimberl Janae Jackson. Would you please, with me, welcome Senator Darrell Jackson.
Thank you to Dr. Jones, and certainly I give honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to your very fine president, Dr. Jones, First Lady Debbie. I love you guys very much. I would tell you this. I was at a church a couple weeks ago, and I said this to the congregation. I don't know if I've ever met two more righteous people than Bill and Debbie Jones, and you are blessed and fortunate to have them here. To Dr. Murray and to members of the faculty and the staff, to the wonderful parents and family members that are here today, and to these wonderful graduates, congratulations, and it is an honor to be here today. Now, I know some of you are perhaps somewhat concerned when you heard that a pastor and a politician would be speaking. And I'm sure you decided that we may be here for a long time this morning. But here's the good news. I am not sure I am that good of a preacher, and I know I'm not that good of a politician. According to my political consultants, I have this bad habit in politics, and that is I always tell the truth, and I always vote my convictions. And so sometimes it puts you at odds with those who are trying to manage you. But I often tell them that before I answer to any constituent, I have to answer to a higher power, and that is God above. And I am so blessed to do that with joy. Before we start this morning, I just want us to bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be here today. Thank you for these graduates. Thank you for these wonderful members of the faculty and staff. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Dr. Jones introduced my wife, and I'm happy to have her. We have been married now for 35 wonderful years, and I am so blessed that God has given me such an awesome woman of God to share my life with. I want to talk with you for a few moments, and I promise I won't be long. The third reason why I will not be long is because Bill, Dr. Jones, has said to me that if I'm over 20 minutes, I get to take the turtle home with me, okay? And trust me, I don't have room for a turtle at my house. So I promise you, I will not be long today. But I want to share with you from a message entitled, The Blessings of Knowing. The Blessings of Knowing. And I will share three references of scripture as I get into this message. But it has been said, and I agree, that knowledge is power. I think we all recognize that. Information is liberating. And education is the premise of progress in every society. One of the reasons why we are a blessed country is because we recognize and understand the importance and the value of knowledge and the importance and the value of education. And although that is important in the secular community, and I serve in both capacities, I'm here to tell you that in our walk with the Lord, it is even more important. It is very important. And there are three things that I want to share with you, three points that I will share with you, and I will take my seat, and the turtle can remain with Dr. Jones. Okay. Number one, it is this. What we know is very important. And I want you to remember this. What we know is important. And so it is important that we value education. It is important that we do what we must do to prepare ourselves to do what God has called us to do. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The King James Version says it this way, study to show yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what we know is important. It is important that you leave here and I'm sure you will, with a great education, knowing the Holy Scriptures, knowing the Bible, and allowing it to come alive in your life. I found out that the more I know about God's Word, the more refreshing it is in my life. And it is even more relaxing knowing that I know something about God's Word today that perhaps I did not know last week. And that is why it is the only text that's called the Living Word. It lives every day. And it doesn't matter how often I read Colossians or Daniel or Revelation or Ephesians, every time I read it, something different comes alive to me. And I leave saying, I have learned something today that I did not know yesterday. So it is important. Knowledge is important, and what we know is very important. Here's the second point. Who we know is also important. Now, you may say, coming from a politician, perhaps he's talking about networking or knowing the right individuals and being in the right circles and mixing with the right people. From a political perspective, perhaps that is correct. But what I've found out is that it all fades away from a secular and a political perspective. You may think you know the right people or you've networked with the right people only to find out that they're not the ones you really need when your back is against a wall, when you're going through a horrible valley experience. I called it in my church David's Ziklag experience. When your camp is burned down, when your family has been kidnapped, and when the men who have been following you are threatening to stone you, knowing the next politician doesn't get you by. Knowing who the mayor is really does not help. But knowing God. One of the things that was so important to me as I came to this institution many years ago was the theme to know God and to make him known. Listen to the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32. The B clause, the New American Standard Version says, but the people who know their God will display strength and take action. When I came here as a student, I knew a lot of things and I had graduated from college. And in fact, I think I shared this with Ricky Blakely, your student body president, when we talked some time ago. I was in law school. I was in my second semester in law school. And God impressed upon my heart to quit law school in the middle of the second semester. At that time, this school was on a quarter system. And so it was sometimes in March and a quarter was about to begin. And God spoke to my heart and says, you know the word somewhat, but in order to know the word better, you need to go to CIU. And he says, more importantly, in order to know me better, you need to go somewhere and dedicate yourself to the Lord. Now, can you imagine? Here I am, a law student. I go to the dean of students at the University of South Carolina Law School. And I said to him, Dean, I'm quitting today. Turned my books in. I don't want to sell them. Give them to whoever you want. I'm quitting today. He looked at me and he picked up the phone and he knew my father and some others and he made a call and he says, just sit here for a moment. And he called my father and says, I think we need to have him committed for observation for at least a week. And Dad said, why? He says, because he's about to do something that I've never heard of before. He's about to quit law school. And I was a law school student who was at that time recommended by the current governor of South Carolina. So I was highly favored and honored to have been on law school, voted most likely to succeed. Law firm had already said they had a job waiting on me. But here I am in March in the dean's office, says I'm quitting to go to a school on Monticello Road called CIU. So the dean stretched his head and he says, I know law school is stressful. He says, but if you can take the next day off and rest, and I'm sure you will come to your senses. And he says, call me tomorrow and let me know what you've decided. And so I knew I couldn't argue with him. I says, yes, sir, I will. I called him tomorrow. I says, Dean, it's been nice knowing you. I am on my way to Monticello Road to enroll at CIU. And it was the best thing that has ever happened to me. Because I knew the governor, and I knew the dean, and I knew several political people because of my family connections, and I've been involved in politics all my life. And although my dad was a pastor and a preacher, I realized something. I did not know God. Not in a personal, intimate way. I knew church. I knew how to lead a service in church. I knew even how to convince church people that I knew God, but I did not really know God. But when I came here as a student, sat in this chapel, sat under the late Dr. McQuilkin and Professor Hatch and Dr. Terry Hubbard and Dr. Larkin, it changed my life. I was introduced to the God that I had been longing to meet, and it made a difference in my life. So not only, number one, what I knew God was working on, but number two, he was working on who I knew. He says, now you know me. And I realized something, that nobody else matters until I have that relationship with God. The vertical has to be right before the horizontals can come together. Point two. And here's the third and the final point. What we do with what we know and who we know is even more important. What God impressed upon me was that he did not send me here just to have another degree or to put something on my resume or to say that I graduated from this university or to impress those that I was trying to preach to. God says, I sent you there to make a difference. And here's the scripture I leave you. We all are familiar with it. The gospel has been recorded by St. Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 19, the New American Standard Bible. And the first word jumps out to me. It says, go. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I realized that the blessings of knowledge was, one, what I knew, two, who I knew, and three, what would I do with it? What would I do with the knowledge I've gained and the relationship I have forged with my God? And God challenged me. He says, if you're going to make a difference in somebody's life, then you've got to do something with it. Because at the end, when it's all said and done, no one cares about the titles behind my name. No one cares that I was elected to the state senate, or no one cares that I was the student body president. But here's what does matter. When you touch somebody's life, and I share this with you, I had a young man to come up to me one Sunday afternoon. It was a long day, and that particular Sunday, I had completed my third sermon, and it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon at a visiting church, and he followed there. Tears were in his eyes, and he says, Pastor Jackson, I can't wait to tell you this, but I need to tell you now. And he grabbed my hand, and he says, you've saved my life. He says, when I came here, I was on drugs. I came here, my family had put me out. I had nothing. I had no one. He said, I sat in the back to listen to you preach. He said, in fact, I had given up on church. I thought all churches were just nothing but shows and all preachers were hypocritical. He says, but I listen to your word and you challenge me to get to know the God that we worship. He says, and I did, and I changed my life. To this point, I had never had a conversation with him, and he would not turn my hands loose, and he was standing there, and tears were in his eyes, and my friend, who's a minister, thought perhaps something was going on, or he was threatening me, and he wasn't. And this was a man who was like 6'3", 250 pounds, former college athlete, and he grabbed me, and he hugged me, and he said, thank you for introducing me to the God you preach about every Sunday. And God said to me, you've done the third thing. You've made a difference with what you've learned and the relationship you forge with me. And so I leave you with these words. The blessings of knowing is know the importance of knowledge and what you know. Know the importance of who you know, knowing God, Daniel 11:32b, and do something with it. Go change the world. Go witness. Go to China. Go to Africa. Go to the uttermost part of the earth and share your testimony. And when you do, someone will walk up to you and you will say to God, it has all been worth it. All the long nights, the days I've studied, the papers I've written, it's all worth it. Not because you have a degree, but because you have helped to transform somebody's life and introduce them to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Thank you. God bless you. Congratulations.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.